Welcome to the call. This is Bob the teacher, and I'm very, very thankful that you have decided to take a few moments out of your busy schedule, out of your productive time, perhaps your relaxing time, depending on what time of day it is for you, to be here and to enjoy a special training session that I'm offering to you right now. The reason that this call was put together is because, number one, it's part of the new year and everything, and we finally are now approaching the second month of the year, and our resolutions maybe have gone out the window, or perhaps we have finally recovered from that kind of holiday malaise that sets over us, and we're really supercharged up for the next year. But perhaps you're not quite sure what direction you should be going in, and I want to provide some framework for you to think about how to move forward most profitably and effectively for the next year. I also am seeing way too many people making very critical mistakes in their businesses, and they sometimes don't even realize it. So I hope that what I'm about to share with you is going to help you avoid some of those mistakes and also get you success a bit faster than you would by yourself. Also, I'm a bit frustrated and concerned because there's so much conflicting information flying out on the internet right now, on webinars and teleseminars and in ebooks and on blogs, and it just is becoming so overwhelming and so noisy that it's virtually impossible to really make sense of everything in order to move forward in a very solid, consistent pace. Also, for many business owners, 2009 was a very challenging year, and it didn't really get better for most people over time. And 2010 is already a month old, and we just simply can't waste time letting it slip away. So I want to make sure you have some clear ideas on how to move forward a little bit more effectively. And while 2009 was a struggle for a lot of people, I wanted to put this call together because for me, I was able to take longer vacations than normal. I continued to have a consistent revenue through several sources, and my business continued to grow, even though the economy was crappy and all things were kind of in a state of disarray for a lot of folks. Mine continued to grow, and I think it's time that you know some of the secrets that I have that I've been relying on, and some of which I've been sharing in my coaching programs, but some of which I just simply haven't put together in a synthesized way in one place. And I want to share with you how I can share that with you. So by the end of this session today, I want you to have a page or two of notes. I want you to really think very seriously about the types of ideas and strategies I'm going to be revealing to you. And I also want to make sure that, if it's appropriate, I want you to connect with me further so that I can help you grow this year. I'm a business trainer. I'm a coach. I'm a professional speaker now, and I'm putting on my own events, and some of those may be appropriate or some of my virtual events may be appropriate. But most importantly, I simply want to make sure that you feel confident that 2010 is your breakthrough year, and hopefully I can be a part of that. You may not really know me. I know that a few of you that were on the call before we started the recording, you're new names, and you might not know who I am. Some of you have been with me for a while, and I know that you're the reason why I continue to do this, because I used to teach for quite some time, and now it's a function of finding students who want to learn from me about the kind of business strategies that I can share. But if you are new to me and you're not quite sure, let me just give you a quick rundown of what I'm about and where I came from. And I hope it helps you to understand that I am a person that you can trust to give you the real truth about what it takes to succeed online, to take your business to another level with internet marketing strategies and so forth. Because I don't give you BS. I don't give you a lot of hype. I simply want to make sure that you have a clear path for yourself and you're taking advantage of things that you're good at and you're leveraging your time effectively. Okay. So first of all, again, my name is Bob Jenkins. I am now in North Carolina, but I grew up most of the time in either Maryland or Florida. And I was a teacher from a young age, but I professionally became a teacher in 1997 when I graduated from Florida State University. I was a history teacher for 10 years. I was very active in my school. Became a leader in a lot of different areas, coached the academic team, won a couple state championships in that, and just was really involved. But I discovered eventually that there was a ceiling. Okay, and I'll talk more about that story in a moment. But eventually, you know, fast forward, I took those teaching skills and I turned it into a lucrative internet marketing business where I taught people how to do stuff that they wanted to learn. So now, in 2010, people all over the United States primarily, but also around the world, are inviting me to teach their audiences in a way that is methodical, step-by-step, and very simple. In fact, in 2009, Mike Fulsame, who is one of the Internet's premier leaders in providers of information products and software, had me teach his butterfly marketing workshop to his group. Coming up very soon, David Perdue is having me as one of his featured faculty members for the very highly acclaimed Niche Affiliate Marketing System workshop. Last year at Ken MacArthur's Impact, I was a featured presenter, and at the end of it, Ken asked the audience to vote who was the most helpful out of the entire weekend, and the people who attended picked me as the most helpful presenter and teacher in person throughout the event. And then most recently, Adam Urbanski had me teach at his Attract Clients Like Crazy boot camp, which was highly attended and just a great time. So one of the things I want to kind of give you is it's simply to say that there are high-level people who rely on me to teach their folks the things that they just simply either don't have the time for or that they need that extra special sense of how to teach given to their audience. Also, I want you to know that unlike a lot of people that you might learn from for how to grow a business, I have a few unique characteristics that kind of sets me apart. Number one, I don't have deep pockets coming from parents or from another business that I ran offline or anything like that. I started at square one as a public high school teacher with very little extra money to, you know, fund my growth. So if you're the kind of person who is working a full-time job or you've recently lost a job but you're trying to kind of bootstrap this business, I know many people have submitted questions before the call even began of how to get things going for less than $100. I know what that's like, and it wasn't that long ago that I was in that position. Also, I don't have any formal business education, so I've learned a lot along the way, taught myself some things. I learned from some key mentors and had some help, but I've synthesized that in a way that I think people can understand very simply because I get what it's like to not have that formal education in business, but to have a dream to be successful in entrepreneurial pursuits. I'm also a professionally trained teacher, as I mentioned, so I have a background of being able to take information from various sources, synthesizing it together, and making it very simple for you. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get rich quick or even have success in a month or 60 days. It took me 15 months to go from zero to having a six-figure business, which is pretty rapid. Some people get there a little less. Some people take a little longer. But the point is I know how to take that information, see what questions you have, and make sure the answers are in a fashion that, you know, sinks in for you. And also the final thing I'd say about this is although I do outsource some things in my business, as you hear is all the rage to do, I am also very much integrated into the everyday operations of my business. So I'm consistently working on my web pages and my blogs. I'm consistently testing things, tweaking things, revising things, and so I'm still in the trenches. You know, I've been doing this for 4 years, but I'm still involved in this business in such a way that if anything new comes along, I'm the one who is making sure that it either works or it doesn't work, so that I can make sure it's effective for me, so I can tell you about it in a way that works. Okay. Now, I was going to put this call together a short time ago, but I was on an internet marketer's cruise with 400 people last week, and in fact, during that period of time, I was asked to be the leader of the hot seat mastermind and so forth. So I apologize that this is coming a little bit later in 2010 than I had initially hoped, but I do hope that that you're ready to rock and roll. You're ready to learn from me some ideas on how to get your business going, and I hope that this quick introduction who's asking me to teach their audiences, et cetera, is helpful to you. Okay. Now, before I get into the seven deadly mistakes that I promised I would tell you, I want to get to that as soon as possible. but I would like to share a little bit more of how I went from being, you know, what you can consider a chalkboard jockey as a classroom teacher to a six-figure business trainer in 15 months. I often skip over that part when I'm doing teletraining sessions and so forth because I already know this story so well, but I often find that many people need to know this transitional period because it helps put in perspective what it takes to gain that success. And some people's paths are going to be different than mine. Like I mentioned, 15 months in many people's timelines is a bit rapid, and some may take longer, some may be there shorter. But ultimately, if you have the right kind of mindset of how you can succeed in business and you put the right pieces together, some of which I'll be able to share with you during our session now, I think you're going to find that business, pursuing your business, pursuing helping other people in a profitable way is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be one of the cool things that you do in your life. I don't know where you are in your business right now, if you're at the starting gate, if you're at a plateau, or you're thriving, but you'd like to see if there's something you're missing out on. But I hope that this quick rundown of History Lane will help you out. So, you know, like I mentioned, back in 1997, I began teaching. In about the first 8 or 9 years, I continued to do that and was successful at it. Won a couple of awards, yada, yada, yada. I don't need to give you, you know, a resume rundown. But the writing was on the wall, or you could say the writing was on the chalkboard. Each year, the school system I worked in, as is the case in many places, was giving me a raise automatically of 2%. But the expenses and the cost of living was going up at like 6 or 7%. I don't know if you've ever lived in central Maryland or know people from there. It's very common, as is other parts of the United States, that was the situation in the late 90s and early 2000s. And so even though I went to college and got a second degree, a master's degree, from Johns Hopkins University, I invested $20,000 or so in that education, only to see a raise of $1,500 a year come out of it. So financially, the teaching profession was showing me that it wasn't going to reward me financially. And you probably know that if you know a teacher, you yourself are a teacher. But the real truth is that, and I don't mention this on too many teleseminars, but the real truth is it wasn't really the finances that was getting to me. The finances were a way for me to start pursuing, you know, how can I make some extra money? That's initially how things start to go. But was really I really discovered over the next year or so, in that eighth or ninth year, that I had been in the same place for 9 years. I had walked out of college as a 22-year-old guy and walked into this one school, and I stayed there in the same classroom for that time. And I don't know if you've ever been in the same position, the same job for, more than 7 or 8 years. I know some people go 30 years in the same career. It gets to be a bit monotonous. It gets to be a bit tiring. And you start to get that itch that maybe there's something more for you to do. Maybe there's a bigger impact or a bigger calling for you to work with. And so I started pursuing, financial things first and eventually ways to impact the world. So when I first started my business, I was not very good, I got to tell you. Before I started my online marketing stuff that I'm doing now, I initially was trying to do some websites for other people. And although I was good at it, I was not a good business person from it. I wasn't able to really keep up with my clients. And because I was working full-time and trying to build this other thing, it just wasn't the case. It got so bad, in fact, that my parents actually fired me from being their webmaster because I wasn't able to do the kind of job necessary, and I wasn't able to leverage the time effectively either. So the first kind of thing that I started trying to do for making money online were selling opportunities, network marketing types of things. I even started selling images on websites called pixels. I even started selling beef jerky and so forth, and just random things that, are good things as far as what they are. But as far as a business is concerned, coming from me, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that because it's part of the deadly mistakes that people are making. But eventually what I found and where I was able to become a six-figure business trainer was I started coming back to my roots. I started coming back to this idea of teaching, of taking advantage of something that I was good at. So I began creating simple information products that actually helped people in a way that they could, you know, seek a solution. They found me, and I solved an issue for them, very small at first, and that was the initial starting point. I also recommended solutions to people as an affiliate marketer, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But that simply means that, you know, I recommended something that was helpful to people, and if they purchased, I received a percentage of that sale. Really what got me to that six-figure level, though, that was the first, you know, 4 or 5 months, kind of struggling, kind of figuring out what was going on. As soon as I started working with a mentor, as soon as I went to my first live event and I started connecting with a mastermind team, and started to learn really how to be a business owner instead of just an opportunity seeker or someone just looking to make some extra money, that's when my business really started to take off. And as I incorporated my passion for teaching with things that I was already good at and learned the kinds of ways to find what people really want out of an information product and helped figure out what their issues were that I could solve, that's when my business started to really take off. So it wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't something that happened overnight. You'll often hear me say and quote someone anonymously who I don't know who originally said this, but you know, we live in an age, and I operate as some of you do as well in this internet marketing world, where we work, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day so we can make money while we sleep. It seems kind of bizarre, but it's really a fun time, and it's a great time for you to incorporate this kind of internet marketing stuff I'm about to share with you so that you can impact more people, you can take care of your family, you can have a consistent income instead of this roller coaster up and down thing that plagues so many people who are trying to succeed. Okay, so that's a little bit more about where I'm coming from. So I hope you see that, you know, I don't come with a silver spoon in my mouth. I don't have any specialized training other than the mentors that I've picked up in the masterminding that I've had along the way. But I'm a very good observer of what works and what doesn't work. I act quickly, and I hope that you are also one who takes action fast on good ideas, implements them to completion, and then can move forward. Okay, so now let's go ahead and jump into the 7 deadly mistakes that you cannot afford to make if you want to succeed in your business. And really the first thing I think that – these are not in order, by the way, of any specific ranking, but I think that they are all, you know, essentially equal in importance. But the first one I have for you is that people are making the mistake of not having a system. They are trying to do everything where it's there's no automation in place, there's no routine, there's no habit, and so things are just kind of haphazard. Now, I'm a big fan of procrastination. I had to get over that to be successful in business. I'm a big fan of doing things when they need to be done instead of, you know, trying to do them too far in advance. But I learned the hard way that if you don't have a system, you can really get bogged down in the process of trying to build a business. So things like autoresponder systems, routines like how to deal with social media and things like Twitter and Facebook, how to create a product and then get it onto the web, how to set up a selling system so that people can pay you while you're away on vacation or whatever. All these things are very important, and I find that many people who are struggling are stuck because they don't have a system in place, and they're not even trying, or they're not even aware that such a system exists. So what I try to do is to make sure people know of the right systems that they can incorporate at the right time in their business. Okay. The second deadly mistake that people are making, I hope you are not making, but I know many people are, is that they see competition in their marketplace as the enemy. Now, if you imagine a street corner where there's a gas station on one side and there's another gas station on the other side, when they have that kind of relationship, often when one lowers their prices on their unleaded gas, the one across the street immediately does the same thing. And they're doing this cutthroat competition again and again. Well, when you broaden your environment of what you're working in, if you think of the landscape of where you're doing business, to a much larger area. And the internet allows us to do this because we can literally be selling globally our services and our products. Then you no longer have to see your competition as the enemy. You no longer have to think that in order for you to succeed, someone else has to fail. This always bugged me with the way that I thought business was supposed to run. I meant to mention earlier that the only business role model that I really seemed to have when I was growing up was Alex Keaton from Family Ties. I don't know if you ever saw that TV show, but he was a very capitalistic, you know, cutthroat business dude. And I always, although I liked and admired him as a kid, as I grew up and started thinking about business, it didn't really sit well with me that in order for me to win, someone else had to lose. And I saw that in the classroom as well. It just drove me crazy. But with the internet allowing you to reach out to a larger audience, you can actually see your competition as cooperation. Instead of competitors, they are now collaborators. People who succeed in their business, and if you're going to succeed in 2010 and beyond, you're going to have to reach out to people who would otherwise be your competition and find ways to work together, find ways to support one another through the ideas that you have, maybe referring business to one another, and just simply seeing where can you coexist with that other person. I'll share a quick story with you that when my second product that I ever created was called Discover Mini Sites. And this was a product where I interviewed someone who showed people how to make websites. Now, since I was already a webmaster for a little while, I already knew how to make websites. So if you were looking at this from the traditional business model, I had no business trying to interview this other person who was really actually my competition. But because I saw him as a person who I could collaborate with, and we could both win if we worked together, I was able to create a product in a very short amount of time that generated over $12,000 in about 9 months, just one product. So once you start to see your competition as people you can work with, you're going to see faster growth. You're going to have more fun, and you're also going to realize that there's instead of trying to carve up the same pie into bigger pieces, you can wind up having just a larger pie, and everybody can have a larger share. Now, the third deadly mistake I'm seeing people make that really aggravates me and frustrates me, but I can actually take a little bit of responsibility for it, is people who are running their businesses are trying to do too much of the work themselves. I say that I'm partly responsible because a lot of the early products that I made and still products I make to this day teach people how to do things for themselves, how to manage your website, how to set up your own teleseminars, how to do Squidoo lenses, etc. Well, I want to teach people those types of things because if something goes wrong, it's helpful if you know how to do those things. It, just like if you don't have a calculator, it's helpful if you actually know how to do math. But ultimately, you should be doing things that you're really good at, and you should be letting other people do things for you so that they can be done faster, perhaps even better, at a higher quality. But more importantly, it frees up your time so you can do things that are a little bit more profitable. I'll give you a quick example from that. The first thing I ever outsourced were the graphics to one of my websites. So instead of me taking 3 or 4 hours doing this new website, and it was actually a site called Teachers in Business, I actually outsourced that to one of my mastermind partners, sent him some money, and he did it. And I think it took him maybe 35 minutes to do these graphics, where it would have taken me probably 4 hours of tweaking and everything else. And they were just done. And I could spend that time that I would have spent doing the graphics doing the actual creation of the product that was going to be for sale there. So I want you to think about, you know, instead of spending money on advertising, instead of spending money on some newfangled ebook somewhere, it's helpful if you just take a little bit of what you make or a little bit of what you've budgeted for your business and get someone else to do some of the stuff that otherwise would take a long time for you to do and that would distract you. Also realize you don't have to necessarily pay people for stuff. You can trade. You can barter. I'll give you a quick example. There's someone on this call who I am just really thrilled that I finally get to meet here very shortly at the Simple event I'm hosting at NAMS. And I put out on Twitter, hey, does anybody want to do transcripts for me in exchange for a link in the transcripts? And the person who I'm talking about responded, She turned the transcripts around for me very quickly. The transcripts happened to be with a high-level marketer, and lo and behold, first of all, it was great for me because I got the transcripts done quickly, which helped me and helped my business, but it also helped her because the person who did the call with me then went on to hire her for some other work, which is leading to great things for her. But at the same time, that same person is not doing all the transcripts herself. She has a team doing it. So my point here is, if you're trying to do everything yourself, you're going to be working from a standpoint of your weaknesses and trying to learn things that are best served to give to somebody else to do if you can. And you can focus more on more profitable activities for yourself. Okay. Again, I remember what it's like to bootstrap. I remember what it's like to not have any money. So there are things that you can learn how to do yourself and work for it. But any of the revenue that you have, anything that you have to budget, do schedule some of that. Do reserve some of your funds to get a virtual assistant or a transcriptionist or somebody else to do some of the work for you that's going to get your product to market faster. Okay. All right. The fourth mistake I see people make is people are operating in reaction mode. They're acting in a place where instead of doing things proactively, instead of doing things that they have a strategic game plan for, they're simply responding to what is being thrown at them. And this has got a big issue here because what tends to happen is you get demoralized, you get very frustrated, you don't get to really get far enough ahead. It seems like you move one step forward and two steps back. These are all because you may be acting and operating in reaction mode. If the first thing you open up on your computer, for example, is your email, and you spend the first 3 hours of the day responding, deleting, checking things out, looking for the next biggest thing, all those are factors of reaction. And by the time the day is halfway over, you feel like you have nothing accomplished. So I really want you to operate from not a reactionary mode, but from a proactive mode, where the first thing you do in the day is you open up what your plan is for the day. Maybe you set that up the night before. Maybe you have a plan for the week or for the month, and you're simply following along this pathway that you've already set yourself up in order to reach your goals in a faster way. Okay, that is essentially important, because otherwise you just get drowned in this sense of overwhelm of all the things that need to be done. You are in control of your business, okay? You are the CEO. You are the person who answers to the boss, because you are the boss. And if you don't take that stance, you're simply going to be, you know, treading water, if not drowning, okay? The fourth thing I think people are making a mistake in is they don't have a lot of confidence in their business, especially if they're struggling, especially if they're new. And if you're in that situation where you're pretty new and you're not sure if what you have to offer is going to really succeed in business, you've got to have faith in what you're doing. Now, that doesn't mean put blinders on and beat a horse for 3 years and come up for air 3 years later and wonder, you know, how the world changed, because you've been so entrenched in your belief that this will work, and then eventually it just doesn't. But there's got to be a balance in your mind of what you're doing is the right thing to do, and you're doing it in a way that's going to lead to success, whether it takes revision, if it takes some changes or whatever, that's fine, but don't abandon your idea too early in the game. This is such a big mistake I see people making. They do something for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, they don't see any success, and even though they made progress, that it's hard to see because they're so close to it, they abandon it and they jump into other things. I find this especially to be the case for people who are working inside of network marketing companies. They think that there's some hot business opportunity with a product that everybody wants and everybody's going to need, and then they spend a couple weeks and they just don't get any results and they give up, and then they jump on some other opportunity. Same thing goes with any niche market or any type of pursuit. If you're looking for something to have a quick result and you don't get it, and then you change your mind to something else, it's kind of like, well, first of all, it's like shooting yourself in the foot, because it's painful and it doesn't let you go as fast as you would like. But more importantly, it continues to build on itself, so that not only do you get demoralized, but people who love you, people who are in your life who want to support you, they see you making these half-hearted efforts, And I don't say that lightly. I'm not saying that you don't try really hard, but if you give up too soon and you keep changing things and change from one thing to the next to the next to the next, the people in your life who are important to you are not going to be able to support you because they don't have the confidence in you either. Okay, so make sure that you go forward with a level head, you do your research, you do your soul searching, you fit all those pieces together so that when you make that decision of what to pursue in your business, that you can go forward with confidence and you can actually see success, because it's critical that you're your biggest fan, and it's critical that you stay on the track. If you don't, you're going to have some big problems. Okay. So that was mistake number five. Here's mistake number six. A lot of people are making the mistake of not focusing on leverageable activities, And what I mean by that is you're doing too much where the service you're providing or the thing you're doing for your customers or something like this, once it's done, it's out the window, and there's no way to really hold on to it. So I deal with a lot of coaches. I teach a lot of coaches and consultants who are being paid by the hour, or I help with virtual assistants who are being paid by the hour. And that's not a leverageable activity, to be paid by the hour. You've heard of being in the time for dollars trap, right? Or trying to operate a business that's not scalable to the point where you're a victim of your own success. You know, if you suddenly got 20 people or 200 people or 2,000 people to do business with you, would you be able to handle it, or would you get crushed by that amount of work? And yes, having that number of customers all of a sudden might be a good problem to have in your mind, but if it causes you to go insane or to drown, you're not going to be very happy. Your life is going to be dramatically different for the worse. Then it's not the right kind of business for you in the long term. So an example of a more leverageable activity is let's say you want to buy advertising on the internet or on TV or on radio or in the yellow pages or in the newspaper. Okay, so you could spend $500 easily on advertising in this kind of a way, and then once that advertising is gone, it's gone forever. You don't get it back. Okay, think about those companies that are getting ready to spend over $2 million for 30 seconds on the Super Bowl. 30 seconds on a Super Bowl ad. It's crazy. Obviously, we're not dealing with $2 million ad budgets here on this call, but I think the exaggeration here is proving the point. Once those 30 seconds are gone, that's it. You know, unless you have the number one or number two commercial that keeps getting shown on YouTube, it's just not being seen. So instead of spending your money on advertising, instead of spending your money or your time on things that are just going to disappear, you've got to operate on something that's more leverageable. And an example I would have for that is the person who takes that same amount of money they might spend on advertising and instead creates 10 articles or creates a report that can last forever, or who does a teleseminar and gets the transcripts made and gets that to be a recording that can then be on their website forever. Those are leverageable activities. If you're a coach and you've been working one-on-one, is there a way for you to work with 10 people instead of just one person so that you can leverage your time more effectively? That's what's going to make you more successful. If you're not leveraging your time, your energy, or the efforts of others, you're going to drown in 2010. And the seventh deadly mistake that I'd like to share with you, I hope that you avoid because you really can't afford to make this, is people are not getting expert help on a regular basis. If you're the kind of person who is trying to learn from me or other people simply from what we post on our blog or simply what we put out as free reports or what we have on Twitter, or you're going to your friends and people in your neighborhood and you're asking them for business advice and you're getting it for free, you're going to have a bit of a struggle getting the big picture and really putting all the pieces of your business together. I remember very clearly how my business was very stagnant and even in decline before it got off the ground, because I figured with a degree from Florida State and a master's from Johns Hopkins, I figured I knew everything. I figured I didn't really need other people's help, and I struggled, and I went further into debt, simply not because I was spending too much money on stuff so much, but I wasn't making any revenue, and I was wasting a lot of time trying to figure stuff out on my own. So yes, there are a lot of tutorials on YouTube. Yes, there are a lot of little ebooks on free giveaway sites and all that stuff. But if you're learning your business through other people's promotional materials, you're simply not getting the bigger picture and the inside scoop that the gurus and the experts and the people who know what they're doing are, keep for themselves. And I pride myself in my coaching programs of pulling back the curtain and showing, the details of things. But a lot of people are not doing that, and I certainly don't do it for free, and most people don't do it for free. So if you're not getting expert help on a regular basis, you're simply not getting the full picture, and that's going to hold you back from the success that you deserve, and it's also going to impact the life of your customers because you're not going to get your solutions out to them in a way that will help their lives, and that's really key too. Okay, so seven deadly mistakes you can't afford to make. I'll repeat them once more. You may not have a system. You see competition as the enemy. You're trying to do too much yourself. You may be operating in reaction mode. You may be lacking confidence and giving up too soon on your business. You're not focused on leverageable activities, and you're not getting expert help on a regular basis. I do hope that you are not making any of those seven mistakes, or if you are, maybe you're only making one or two. But I do find that many people right now who are struggling are making at least three or four of those. And the good news is that you can take the advice I've given you during this session of today's training and turn it around and make a huge difference in the way that you conduct your business and the way that you succeed in 2010.